We come now for our second lesson out of the book of Jude. We are looking at ordained to this condemnation. Beloved, Jude verse 3, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. I'm not just going to write to you concerning how to obtain salvation and about the characteristics of salvation. I want to write about how you got to maintain it. And he says in verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to them, for they were before of old ordained to this condemnation." They crept in unawares. Now, already in here, you didn't know it. They got in here. But I want you to understand something about them. And this is what you got to earnestly contend about. They were of old ordained to this condemnation. Well, how did God let them get in there? Because it was God's will. Let both grow together, the tares and the wheat. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, and you need to read the rest of the book of Jude, and it's really a blessing to you, but we're just looking at this verse 4, ordained to this condemnation. Now, we left off in our first lesson with the difference between Peter and Judas. Both were chosen of the Lord. Judas was chosen, but he wasn't elected. Peter was chosen and elected. How do you know? I'll show you in just a minute. And we understand and see that God made a difference between the two, but he put them in there to let you see that in your life there's going to be tares among the wheat, because I want you to see that in my own ministry, I brought in one of the most deceptive tares that the world has ever known. And everybody now knows that's involved with religion knows the name Judas Iscariot. He betrayed the Lord. Now, in John chapter 12 and verse number 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You say, well, he must really be a disciple of God. He really cares about the poor. But dear soul, he didn't discern the time. And people that would have said, that's right, why did we waste this 300 pence worth of ointment, let it be wasted by this woman on Jesus' feet and on his hair? Listen. This he said, this is John 12:6, not because he cared for the poor. But it sounded like he cared for the poor. You need to be careful, dear soul. There are scams going on even in America today where they showed you a little pot-bellied child with a fly on his nose and say, send us $19 a month and you can feed this cat and this child. You need to be careful. You need to grow up. We need to help the poor, yes. But these people, sometimes they're filling their pockets and not as feeding a single child. It's just the front to get your money. Listen. And this he said, not because he cared for the poor. God's word said that. You didn't know that when you heard him say, why wasn't this ointment sold and the money given to the poor? The reason he said that was because if the ointment was sold and the money was going to be given to the poor, it had to be turned over to Judas. He wanted to get his hands on it. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag that bore the money, and bear what was put therein. Jesus said, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this. You have to have the Lord Jesus Christ bring forth that which is necessary to break up this inordinate affection. Oh, we should have given this to the poor. Judas is right. Oh, he's more righteous than the rest of us. Better be careful, dear soul. There are times when these tares among the wheat and when these wolves in sheep clothing will seem like they have the greatest counsel to be able to direct and guide the church, and it's all done out of inordinate affections. It was more necessary and needful for Jesus Christ to have his Father provide a woman to anoint him for his burial than it was for the poor to be fed. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone against the day of my burying, has she kept this? For the poor ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Judas, why didn't you say yesterday that the money that was given could have been given to the poor? You didn't say it. Tomorrow, next week, you're not going to make this issue. It's just you just couldn't stand to have that much money pass under your nose and you not get your hand on it because he was a thief. Dear soul, you can be deceived, but the Holy Spirit can't. And you need to make sure you don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit when there's something troubling you about something. Then you need to go to the Lord. You don't need to go to the preacher. You don't need to go to that person. You don't need to argue about it. You don't need to go to your mate or your best friend. And you need to go to the Lord. Lord, why did I have that reluctance in me? Why did it grieve me? What that brother said when everybody else said, "Amen." Jesus said, "You need to get your eyes on me and understand it's more important to anoint me concerning my burial than it is to feed the poor. You're going to have a chance to feed the poor time and time again down through the ages." This was the difference. It took a discerning spirit of God to reveal this. Now in chapter 13 of John, chapter 13, in verse number 21, John 13, 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and this it will trouble you too, and testified and said, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, surely, surely," that's what those words mean, "I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." One of you shall betray me. Now, there's going to be another that's going to deny him. But the thing that grieved him was that there was one among them that was going to betray him that they didn't have any clue. And they were Judas's friend. And it grieved Jesus to know that they were being friends to the one that was going to betray him. "One of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. They didn't know who it was. They didn't know until it proved out and they could actually see what happened. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom he loved, John." Simon Peter, John's best friend, therefore beckoned to him, to John, that he would ask who it was, who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, and he never did say it was Judas. This is how he identified. "He it is to whom I shall give a sop." Now, some of you city folks don't know what a sop is. But that's when there's some gravy left in the bowl and you got a one piece of biscuit and you reach over there and get that gravy out with that biscuit. That's a sop. "I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, being Satan's master and boss, principalities and powers and angels being subject unto him, he says, "That thou doest, do quickly." I want to get on and get this done at the cross. Go on and do what you do. Soon as he gave the sop and identified who it was, Satan entered into it. Dear soul, don't doubt in your mind that those who are ordained to this condemnation, they will have eventually a filling of the unholy spirit. All of the human race will wind up in at the end, either filled with the Spirit or filled with the unholy Spirit. We're not going to go into eternity like we came into the world. You must be born again. You must be born from above by the Holy Spirit, or you must be born from beneath by the devil. Satan entered into him. And he says, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. And some of them thought, well, it's because Judas has the bag with the money in it, that Jesus saith unto him, buy those things that we should need against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. See, Judas had put it into their mind, this false concept of we should give this to the poor. They said, well, it's probably, you know, Judas knew what he was doing. He's going to give some money to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. And these next three words are very important. Four words. And it was night. Dear soul, when you get filled with the devil, everything turns dark and it won't never be light again. And you're going to cast that darkness into outer darkness. That's where Judas went. He went to his own place. Acts chapter 1 and verse 25. The book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 25. And that he may take part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Where is Judas right now? He's in his own place. Where is that? He's full of the devil within and he's covered up with the devil from without. He's got darkness on the inside, so he's in the outer darkness. That's Judas's place. But dear soul, there was a difference in the Apostle Peter. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. I would be glad if that was the case that Jesus would tell me and warn me about it. But I'd hate to have to be warned that the devil was after me that strongly. And he always is. Listen. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you, how? As a tare? No. How? As wheat. Thanks be to God, if the devil comes after us, he comes after us to sift us as wheat and not as tares. What's the difference between Judas and Peter? There's not one particle difference between them as far as the flesh is concerned. Peter was just as capable of denying and betraying the Lord and being cast into outer darkness as Judas was. What made the difference? The next phrase, Luke chapter 22 and verse number 32. But I have prayed for thee. You can't find anywhere in your Bible where Jesus prayed for Judas. There was no intercession for him. He didn't bring him before the Father and say, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. But he did Peter. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. What did Jude say? I write unto you that you would earnestly contend for thee faith. Earnestly contend for thee faith. Don't quit working on your faith. Don't quit coming to the Holy Spirit and sensing by the Holy Spirit. Who are the dogs and sows? You know them by the evil fruit that they have. You know them because the dog may have gotten baptized down at your church. Oh, and he got back with his wife, and now him and his kids and his wife are doing great. And then the next thing you know, they say, you know what? I saw him down there at the bar drinking again and running around with that old woman. What? Well, that can't be. He got saved. Must not have, dear friend, because sheep don't do that. That's a dog returning to his vomit. Yes, dogs can vomit out and say, I'm a changed man. I had a man sit in my living room, and he's just crying and carrying on. He said, I said, what's the problem? He said, I want my wife back. Well, what are you doing about it? I poured out all my liquor. Well, that's good. I want to be baptized. Okay, we did that. But he never mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, just a few months later, he was right back out there drinking and carrying on, and him and his wife finally got a divorce. Your soul, you don't know what you're looking at with the natural eye and with the inordinate affections. You feel those warm and fuzzy feelings. Well, it can't be Judas. He's just going out to buy some other stuff and to give money to the poor. Really? Why do you think that? Because he said, we should have sold that ointment and give the proceeds to the poor. Jesus said, the Lamb of God is right here in front of you, and God has ordained that this female save up her in her treasure chest, her that which she was saving up for her wedding day, and give it to the one that she was marrying by the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, and anointed his hair and his feet, his head and his feet, and wiped them with her hair. Do you think that is a wrong way to use her hope chest, that which was in her hope chest? No. She's in your Bible like no other woman has been put in your Bible. She is written down, and Jesus is speaking of her and say, let her alone. She has done this against the day of my death. My Father hath ordained her, not Peter, not James, not John, not Elijah or Samuel or any of those great men, but this lowly woman has been chosen and set up in all of humanity to be the one to come and anoint my body against the day of my burial. What a glorious thing that she's allowed to do. But Judas would not have it. We need to save that money and give it to the poor. This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he wanted to get his hands on it. Dear soul, you better be careful about people who seem like they got these great, wonderful, affluent, spiritual things that prompt them and motivate them. And you better make sure that the Holy Spirit is confirming that to you, and not allowing you to be deceived, to turn you in the wrong way, to deny Jesus and his precious body, the anointing for his burial. The only one that could do it, the only one that did do it, the only one provided by God, and yet Judas would take it away from the church and away from her, and worst of all, away from Christ. Listen, where was we? Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Satan has desired you to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. For when thou art converted, when God returns you, when he turns you again, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. You got it wrong, Lord. Here's Peter rebuking the Lord and calling him maybe not so much as a liar, but telling him he don't know what he's talking about. And he said, Christ said to Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before thou hast denied, for thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You don't know who you are, Peter. I know who you are. That's the reason I prayed for you. And that's the reason I like that verse in Psalm 62 and verse number 12. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. You're going to render to Peter according to his work because you had mercy on him and prayed for him. There was no intercession ever listed for Judas. He went out and hanged himself, and he fell and burst asunder, and his bowels came out. And they took the 30 pieces of silver that he had, and they bought a property in the graveyard to bury vagrants and folks like that. That's all Judas could provide, a place for the dead. But we see that the Lord told Peter, I'm going to pray for you, and this is the difference. This is the difference. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. What did you learn from this, Peter? Wherefore, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he starts listing the things that God would give you, these great and precious promises. Verse 5, virtue, power will be added to faith, knowledge to virtue, then temperance to knowledge, patience to temperance, and then godliness to patience, and then brotherly kindness to godliness, and the brotherly kindness charity. Now listen, 2 Peter 1:8. Or if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. At one time I was barren and unfruitful, but now that I have gone out and wept bitterly, and I've understood myself, and I understood Judas, and I saw that I was no different than him, and I saw that it was the mercy of God and the intercession of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how horrible I was to agree with Judas that the money ought to have been given to Judas instead of anointing Christ's body, I see what a wretched man that I am, and why am I still involved in the church? Why is God still having anything to do with me? His mercy! I have prayed for thee. What? Not that Satan wouldn't attack you. Satan has desired to have you as wheat, sift you as wheat. I didn't pray that Satan wouldn't sift you. I prayed that when he does sift you, your faith fail you not. And dear soul, you're going to go through these things. It must needs be that we are entering into the kingdom of God through much tribulation. And God says, I'm not going to pray that you don't go through tribulation. I'm going to pray that you would be kept by the Holy Spirit strong when you do, so that you might grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Peter said, but he that lacketh these things, faith and virtue and temperance and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he ever was purged from his sins. He doesn't have any recollection of being born again. These things are not within him. But these things were in Peter because Jesus prayed for him that his faith fail thee not. And listen, dear soul, let me read you something. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. You say, well, I want those things, and I want the Lord Jesus to intercede for me too. Let me give you something. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There is a secret and an invisible intercession going on between the Holy Spirit at the throne of God and in your soul, the Holy Spirit in your soul. And he is taking care of you, and he's watching over you. These groanings cannot be uttered. They're not given a language of the human tongue, but God understands them. And the Lord is watching over you, and the Lord is taking care of you. And you shall never perish. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's Romans 8:26. Drop down to verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Is it your flesh condemning you? Are you having a hard time with the devil condemning you right now? Are you laden under guilt? Dear soul, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Quit bearing that guilt. It's not yours. That's the devil loading you up. Quit taking it to yourself. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died for you. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You've got two interceders. You've got the Holy Spirit within you and also at the throne of God at the same time, making intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And you've got the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he is making intercession for you. Ain't God good? Lord, mercy belongeth unto you, and therefore you shall judge every man according to his works. Excuse me. Thank God my works are dependent upon the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and not upon me. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse number 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. All that are in the grave, whether they knew God or owned the Bible or ever heard a message or not, those dead in trespasses and sins, those who were corrupt, and those bodies who knew the Lord, of those who knew the Lord. Listen, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now listen, this is one general judgment. Don't let them mess you up with all them goings and comings and all that millennialism. Stick with the scripture. John 5:29, and it shall come forth, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. One resurrection. How shall they be judged? According to their works. But I'm not saved by works. Right. But it's God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And God's mercy shall be praised and shall endure forever. His mercy endureth forever. Therefore, you're not going to be afraid to be judged according to your works, because your works was the works of the Holy Spirit in you. And you need to get all that Judas junk out of you, all that inordinate affection. Oh, we could have saved that. Ornament and give it to the poor. Show the next slide. Oh, it's a little pot-bellied child, half naked and ain't had nothing to eat, and you don't even know if that's real or not, with a fly on his nose. Well, we could have given that money then. What about Jesus? What about anointing his body? Should not the eternal holy Lamb of God have some honor? Should not he be anointed for his burial? There wasn't going to be a high priest that would do it. All the high priests had turned to the devil. But we got one woman. She had saved in her hope chest this ointment against the day of her marriage and said, I was wrong. It was not for my marriage to another human being. But I was right, in that it was for my marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. He is my heavenly husband. And Lord, I finally understand this is what you wanted me to do with this ointment all this time. It was very expensive. Judas couldn't stand it. But how did he express himself? So the church would praise him and glorify him and say, Judas, right, we should have given this money to the poor. But Jesus said it wasn't because he loved the poor, because he was a thief and he carried the bag that had the money in it, and it made him mad that he couldn't get his hands on it. So he had to get some money, so he went and sold Jesus. The love of money is the root of all evil. He's going to get some money some way or another out of Jesus. And so will these people manifest themselves and their soul. The blade sprung up and then appeared the tares also. And God said, gather the tares and burn them. You don't worry about it. those people that are mocking and laughing at you, those people that you thought were Christians, that you have had the Holy Spirit warn you time and time again, whether you would believe it or not. You wondered why you didn't feel that warmth towards them. You wondered why it seemed like your pearls that you had that the Holy Spirit was revealing to you and through you was like being cast before swinish attitude. They had the character and nature of the pig and the dog and not of the sheep. Why did it feel like that? Because they were tares and dogs and sows. These ungodly men have crept in. That's what he said. These ungodly men have crept in. So I'm writing unto you that you earnestly contend for the faith. Now, look at Romans 9. We'll try to finish out. I thought I was going to get to Romans chapter 2 and go into the issue of how can God judge them if they are ordained to this condemnation. Well, let me just briefly tell you this. You say, well, if God ordained Judas to this condemnation, how can he judge him? Judas was just what the Lord ordained. But if so, God's sovereignty did not make Judas sin. God can't sin. God tempteth no man. Judas didn't sell out Jesus in order that he might fulfill God's purposes. Dear soul, in his own mind and heart, he denied Jesus for the money. It was the love of money, but he was all ordained to that condemnation. So you need to study the second chapter of Romans, especially that passage. It says, who art thou, O man, that replies against God? Shall he that formed thee, he that is formed, say to him that formed him, why hast thou made me thus? Listen. Well, that's also in here in Romans chapter 9. Whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou shalt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? How can God find fault with us then if he's ordained this? O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? So it's here in Romans chapter 9. You can study that second chapter later. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? Now listen to this. I've been reading these verses for many decades, and it's still sinking down into my understanding. You need to start reading these verses and praying and asking God to help you with them. What if God, willing to show his wrath, now his anger and his wrath is not sinful, not vindictive. It's glorious and holy. God cannot do anything that is not glorious. So he will show you his wrath. You want to see somebody that's wrathful, but it's holy and it's right and it's true and it's pure? You have to look at God. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? He had to go through the ordeal of Judas growing up, coming out of his mother's womb, growing up, going to rabbi school, or I don't know, whatever he went to and learned how to be involved with religion, and then wiggled his way into the honor of the other disciples. And Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? So here he is. God had been suffering long with Judas before they ever knew him. Endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath and fitted to destruction. And what if God, willing that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Just mark it down, dear soul. There won't be a single person in eternal heaven or glory that was not elect of God. And there will not be a single person in hell who was not of old ordained unto condemnation. But dear souls, both of them had to be judged according to their works. If you will read Matthew chapter, 25? Where the sheep sit on one hand and the goats on the other, and he judged them according to their works. The reason that the ones on his left hand, the goats, denied him in all of these charitable works wasn't because they were not elected. It's because they had no heart for goodness. There was no mercy found in them. And the reason the ones on his right hand, the sheep, were able to be invited into the paradise prepared for them from the foundation of the world was because God had worked in them grace and mercy, and they could stand there and say, if you can look at my fruit, you know what kind of tree I am. If you look at me when I was visiting one in prison, when I gave to the poor, when I clothed the naked, all of these things that I did, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, me, all of this fruit reveals who I am. So God said, I can just judge y'all by your fruit. I'll just judge you according to your works. And so he says, those that have done good, in John 5:29, unto eternal life. But those that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. And again, and we'll finish with this, Ephesians chapter 2. We love to quote 8 and 9, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, didn't do anything in order to get saved, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I didn't work in order to get saved, but the creation of God in me included the good works that will follow and reveal my salvation. You need to underline these things in your mind. Verse 9 of Ephesians 2, not of works, but verse 10 of Ephesians 2, unto good works. And see that this will always follow, in so much so that Jesus can say, okay, everybody did these works. You get on my left hand, you're goats. But everybody did those works, you get on my right hand because you're the sheep. They'll be judged according to their works. They could not but do that which the Holy Spirit in them led them to do and caused them to do. A good tree cannot do anything but bring forth good fruit. So when you see the good fruit, you say, that's a good tree. But when you see evil fruit, you say, that's an evil tree. It's exclusively that way, never any exception. So Jude says, y'all be careful. I want to write to you concerning you contending for the faith, because there are tares among the wheat, there are dogs and sows among the sheep. And dear soul, one of the hardest things that you'll ever have to deal with as a Christian. And it will exercise you inside your own heart and mind as to whether you really are obeying the Holy Spirit when God shows you a tear. Will you say, oh, no, that's a good brother. I like him. We go fishing together or whatever. That's a good sister. I like her because, you know, we used to take the kids to the park together and used to have a good time. Dear soul, if God reveals these things to you, you need to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and understand, again, that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And I earnestly exhort you, like Jude did, that you contend for the faith, because there are those who are deceptive who would make sure that they steal your crown. God have mercy on us. Help us that we would not be as Judas and try to act like something should be done to titillate and excite our affections, but to bow our heads and say, thank God that Jesus Christ was anointed. That's not a waste of money. You can't have enough money to adorn him with glory. God have mercy. Thank you for your attention.